and everything that we're going through, all that we have. Amen. How's everybody doing this morning? Blessed. Good to see you. Another sunny day. Hot sunny day. Praise God for bringing us here in order to grow and to learn in His Word. Amen. Now, for the order of my steps, where this came from is this last week there was a conversation going on about a song and its title. The name of the song is Reckless Love. And in the song, it's basically calling God's love reckless. Now, it's really not calling God's love reckless. It's using it in a way to show how it would seem reckless to us. Does that make sense? Now, the hard part of that and what brought up to me was sacredness. Because how do we deal with the sacred things of God? God's love is sacred. We know marriage is sacred. We know how we worship is sacred. We understand different things that we do in His Word are sacred. I mean, just everything is sacred that comes from God. How are we dealing or handling these things? In today's world, we like to do things our way. And this is how we have distorted and changed things. And it opened my eyes because I think more were offended by the title of the song referring to God. Okay. And I can understand that. You know, how dare you use a word like that against God's love? But then when you read into the song was actually very, very well written. And what it was saying on how He loves us may seem reckless, you know. And I think it was appropriate in certain cases. So that argument, I'm not going to answer on right or wrong on those, okay, because it's good arguments on both cases. What I am going to do is make sure that we are not falling into the wrong trap that many Christians do and allow our sacredness or how we deal with sacred things to be limited. Amen. How we deal with sacred things to be limited. Look, first of all, I want you to understand there is a real danger with mishandling what's sacred. I want to make that clear first. It's seen in 2 Peter 2, verse 21. It says, it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than to have known it and then turn their backs on the sacred command that was passed on to them. Now, God's not taking that light. I think today we've allowed excuses to go out to make people feel our halfway Christianity is going to be okay. We've made people think, you do it your way, you as long as you mean well, you're going to be okay. And this is letting us know this is sacred. God and being a Christian is sacred. We're going to talk about that a little later in this. But how we deal with it, and if we allow ourselves to go away from it, could be extremely and eternally dangerous. So keep that in mind, okay? So we have to be very careful. Now, the Old Testament always gave us a physical example of what we're supposed to do spiritually. And you know what happens if you were to touch the ark. And you saw what happened when Uzzah did that. You understand that? In which, even though he meant well, we know he was somebody trying to help out and he didn't do anything wrong from our eyesight, God saw his irreverent act because it was sacred. Now today, he's letting you know, we may not die immediately, oh, but you have to pay for how we deal with those things that are sacred. Now, before we go on, also, I got to make clear that we understand within God's boundaries, there are things that are sacred to each individual, and that's fine from what God is saying. Remember, there's the things that are disputable matters and indisputable matters. Disputable matters are the things that the Bible basically says has nothing to do with your salvation. You understand that? There's a freedom to it, and how you want to do it is up to you. Okay, we see that in Romans 14. Look what it says in Romans 14, 5 through 8. One man considers one day more sacred than another. Another man considers every day alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. He's saying, okay, when it comes to days, some may go to church on a Saturday, some may go to church on a Sunday, some go Saturday night, some go Friday night. However you want to do it, it's up to you as long as you're going to church. Do you understand this? As long as you're taking in His Word. All right? He says, but you got to be convinced in your mind for these things that are disputable. He says, he who regards one day as special does so to the Lord. He who eats meat eats to the Lord. And he who gives thanks to God. And he who abstains does so to the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself alone, and none of us dies to himself alone. If we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. Now, he's saying this to Christians and non-Christians of, in the end, you got to answer to God. That's what he's saying. You got to be fully convinced in what you're doing. So understand, you got to eventually go to God, and he's going to go, so why did you pick that day? Why did you do this? So you better be fully convinced, even on the freedoms. Do you understand that? But he's giving us a freedom to worship within his boundaries the way we want. That's a whole nother sermon, but I want to put that out there so you know that. So now, getting clear on his sacred things. These are the indisputable things that deal with our salvation. What we tend to do today is we're very uncareful, or we're not careful with them at all. We kind of allow ourselves to touch the ark more than not. Look what he says, because you're going to see some examples here of what we've been doing in the same way. First of all, man has the habit of obeying man-made things as sacred and as an excuse to ignore God's sacred commands. Now, what you're seeing here is commonly happening today. Look what he says in Mark 7, 1 to 13. It says the Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus and saw some of his disciples eating food with hands that were unclean, that is, unwashed. Now, some of us would be having upset with that, but not for religious reasons. We just say, you know, you got dirty hands, you need to wash your hands. But look at what their reasoning is. The Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing, holding to the traditions of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash, and they observe many other traditions, such as washing of cups, pitchers, and kettles. Now, not that there's a problem with washing dishes or washing hands. They made it some law that it was ceremony that you went through when you washed your hands. It was a religious, spiritual thing that you must do. Now, understand, Catholics do this, and then you have a lot of cults that do it. They'll add other books. Okay, and what I mean by that is one of the books that the Jews added along with the law was the Talmud. And this is one of the things that was written in the Talmud, in which you got some experts, so-called, who said, well, we'll also do this. Okay, so it came to washing hands, and they were basically saying, so you must wash your hands and wash the dishes, and we got to pray when we do it. And it was a whole ceremony that they did with it before they ate. So it really had not as much to do with the cleanliness, but they added a spiritual element to it. Okay, so now, once again, in itself, not a problem. In itself. But watch what happens, because now they're questioning other people on why aren't you doing this. And they look at how they even ask this question. Goes on to say, so the Pharisees and the teachers of the law asked Jesus, why don't your disciples live according to the traditions, watch this, of the elders? Now that's like, why aren't you following what our church usually practices? How come you're not doing what we traditionally do? Not, how come you're not doing what the Bible says? You know, we've always done this. We've always gone through this, you know, in which we have a lot of traditions that we tend to do. And he's asking him that. And look how Jesus answered in this. Instead of eating their food with unclean hands, he replied, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites, as it is written, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. What he's saying is, I'm explaining the things to do with sacred. You can do these other things, and that's great, okay? But I'm telling you, how come I don't hear you guys fighting over that stuff? How come you're not pushing that? Like, going back to the song, like I said, even though it may be inappropriate for us to use the term reckless for God's love, are we that diligent when we're dealing with God's love? Amen? Are we that insulted when we're not living God's love, when we're not truly receiving God? In fact, do we even understand God's love? Does that make sense? But by no means call it reckless. You see how we can do some things? We can pick it and make, we'll worship this way, which I'm not saying is wrong, but we totally ignore more. And I'll show you that. But going on, Jesus makes this clear. He says, these people honor me with their lips. So they'll say things that sound good. They'll sound Christian, like Christians or whatever. It says, but their hearts are far from me. But their purpose is not to worship me. Their purpose is for something else, whatever that may be, to make other people think they're holy, to make them feel good about themselves, to whatever it is. And that's the question you have to ask. Do you come to church for any other reason than to worship him? And our actions will show it. If I'm doing exactly what his word says, I'm coming here, so pastor, you got to preach me his word, and then I'm going to do what his word says, then that's your purpose. You got it. You'll hold me to that no matter what. If you come here and you want to hear something that you like to hear, if you come here because you want to get points and feel good about going to church, if you come here for any other reason, it's no different than not going at all. And that's what he's saying. They honor me with their lips. They'll say amen, hallelujah, and all that other stuff, but their purpose is not with me. He says they worship me in vain. That's where I get it's like not coming here at all. Does that make sense? You get absolutely nothing if your purpose is wrong. Their teachings are but rules taught by men. Okay? Rules taught by men. Like, once again, we got a lot of religious organizations out there that a man or men have gotten together and they've given us a set of instructions that people go, oh man, I really like that. And we'll follow that. We never check the Bible. And that's how a lot of these groups got started. And people will follow them because they like what they heard. And you're just following men taught rules. And they'll use the Bible to try to back them up instead of God taught rules. He says, now watch this. You have let go of commands of God and are holding on to the traditions of men. Let me repeat that. He says, you have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to the traditions of men. So there are more that might be more adamant about don't say reckless to love, but less on living for God's love. Does that make sense? I think by far the most dangerous thing is understanding and living in God's love than calling God's love reckless. Does that make sense? Okay, and I'm just using that as an example. Like I said, we're not going into that. Well, and if y'all want to talk about that, we can later. But in this, I'm trying to make a point of understanding when God's things are sacred. If you want to know if you're dealing with it right, go to his word. You check with him. It goes on to say, and he said to them, you have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions. We see it in church worship today. We see how we're changing people who are preaching. We're doing it with marriage. We're doing it with how we are with our families. There are things that the Bible is very clear on how we're supposed to do it. And you'll watch Christians blatantly ignore it to fit their lifestyle. Right? We know 1 Corinthians 11:3, where it talks about hair. And I always hear, and I get ministers that look at me with, come on, Pastor. God doesn't care about hair. My only question I'll ask is, so do I ignore what the Bible is saying? Is that what you're telling me? Well, no. And then they'll give me this whole culture answer. And I'll go, that sounds great. Show me that in the Bible. And I said, we're good. You take it too serious, this and that. I said, so can I do that with other parts of the Bible? Do you hear where I'm going? And this discussion we've had it with many other ministers and other people. But I understand because on the surface, as a human, I'm looking at it going, hair? He doesn't even really tell us what the length should be. He didn't give us, I don't understand it. Do you understand that? But no, no, no. If I'm truly serving him, he said it, I do it. Did y'all catch that? Okay. And we follow what he says, but we don't do that today. But we have a fine way of setting those things aside, like he said, in order to observe our own traditions. He says, for Moses said, honor your father and mother. And anyone who curses his father and mother must be put to death. Okay, we said that in the Old Testament. That's part of the law. That was an instant thing. You curse your mother and father, you were stoned to death. No questions asked. It was gone. But he says, but you say, and I put this in caps because this is what man started doing. And we do the same thing today. We'll say something. You say that if a man says to his father or mother, whatever help you might otherwise have received from me is Corban, that is a gift devoted to God, then you no longer let him do anything for his father or mother. Let me show you what he said here. And I think if we use our intellectual and emotional, we'll almost agree with them. He said, this thing in me helping my mother and father, right? And let's say I'm helping them with finances. But I said, hey, this thing I was going to help you with, I'm going to give to the church because this is for God. I think all of us would go, amen. Do you understand? Because he's giving it to God. And you see how sometimes we'd hear something like that and we would just go, amen, instead of going, but what does God say about that? Do y'all get where I'm going with this? While you didn't realize in you giving to your parent, you were giving to God. But then you did a Peter move and took an extra step and said, no, 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 we're going to give it straight to God. And you hear people do these things all the time in which they make up something that sounds holy, totally wrong. And that's what he says here in verse 13. Thus you nullify the word of God by your tradition. Did y'all catch that? Okay, that you have handed down and that you may do many things like that. Very dangerous. Still done today. In which you'll see people doing things that look. Everybody say look. And this is why we don't walk by sight. Do you understand? It looks spiritual. It looks righteous. And we're misled by how it looks instead of by faith. But did God say that's okay? Amen. Let me check and see what God said about that. Here's another thing we do today. We put more of our efforts to the parts of the whole while missing the whole. Pastor, what are you talking about there? Well, let's see. Okay. Matthew 23:16-22 says, "Woe to you blind guides. You say," there he is again, once again, where man has made up something. He says, "You say, if anyone swears by the temple, it means nothing. But if anyone swears by the gold of the temple, he is bound by his oath. You blind fools, which is greater, the gold or the temple that makes the gold sacred? You also say, if anyone swears by the altar, it means nothing. But if anyone swears by the gift on it, he is bound to his oath. You blind men, which is greater, the gift on the altar, the altar that makes the gift sacred? Therefore, he who swears by the altar swears by it and by everything on it. And he who swears by the temple swears by it and by the one who dwells in it. And he who swears by heaven swears by God's throne and by the one who sits on it." Now, what he's saying here is we, once again, in our religious minds, instead of our relationship with Christ minds, sometimes add or take away from the part. I told you how some people will take their Bible and they'll make the Bible so sacred they won't even read it. Amen. I put it up on wall. See this Bible I buy? There was a person I know who did that. He put it in a frame because it was an older Bible and it came from something else. Doesn't read the Bible, but he has this Bible. And it almost made him feel it was hanging on the wall as this holy article. And I remember I made the comment, you do know that book itself is not sacred. The words in the book are sacred. And they're doing you no good in that frame. Amen? And a lot of us fall into that. If we really look at some of the things we do, is it based on how I think God should do it or what he said I should do? You have some churches where they're built in a certain way and they'll have an altar up top and they'll have things and you have to be careful on how you walk and how you touch things. It's just a building. Y'all have to understand. Just, the temple now is us. Do y'all get this? But you'll see those that'll be very particular in that building, but they're not particular about the sermon. They're not particular about receiving and understanding and checking that word. Does everybody get this? Okay, there's a responsibility that comes with the whole entire practice. Okay, let's see something else we do. It shows us that we have picked parts of what is sacred instead of doing it all. Now, this is a very common thing. We'll look at what God's word says, and we're great at doing this part over here. In fact, you'll see on my resume where I'm great at doing this part over here. But he also asked me to do this part over here. I really don't want to do that. I really don't want to do it. I only want to do it at what fits me. Look what he says here. It says in Matthew 23:23-24, he says, "Woe to you teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites." Remember I told you last week, it's an actor. It's a person that's playing something that he's really not. He's saying, "You give a tenth of your spices and mint, dill and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former." Did y'all catch that? He says, "You blind guides, you strain out the gnat, but swallow a camel." I don't know what that last part means, but you understand. And what he's showing us is what we tend to do is we pick certain things out the Bible to make us feel holy. What he showed us in the law, okay, when we did the law, remember he said, if I broke one of them, you broke them all, correct? God's word is a package. So if you're doing part and not whole, you're not doing it. Do y'all get this? God is not going, well, at least he's doing. I know on tests we love to get an 80%. 80% is not good enough. Do y'all understand that? I'm supposed to do the whole. One of the biggest reasons why you see so much division in the church is because one side picked part of the Bible. Another side picked part of the Bible. Do y'all see what I'm saying? Both are wrong. Why? Because we picked part. If we pick whole, I may have to agree with that side. And if they pick whole, they may have to agree with me. And then we're in agreement. But the Bible did say there is to be no division in the body. But due to our desires, we allow this thing to happen. Very common practice in which we know what the entire word says, take part of it, are very proud of the part we take, and ignore the rest. And what God's saying to us is, you might as well have left that part because it's going to do you absolutely no good. So these are things that we have done. Let's look at, these are the things that we have fallen into. And the way we know these things, it's not because I'm some expert and studied abroad and all this other stuff. No, it's just I use the word that he has given us. The way you understand how to react in God is use the instruction that he has given you. It shows us here that what is truly sacred in the word, if we would just trust in it. That means what I started doing, and I remember it was the early 20s where I said, you know what? No more of this and taking people's word for it and hearing all this other stuff and these intellectual stuff. I'm going to go straight to the word. And now from this point on, everybody's got to show me everything based on the word. Why? Because I kept hearing different things from different places and different areas. And when I went straight to the word and the answer had to be there, that's what this shows. 2 Timothy 3:15-17 says, "And how from infancy you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." Did y'all catch that? So if I go to the scriptures the way I'm supposed to, it'll give me what I need to live the way I'm supposed to. Do y'all get this? If I don't, it won't. How the Holy Spirit works with us is through his word. I know we love to think, no, he does this and does it. The Bible shows us he works with us through his word. Do y'all get this? Okay, very important for us to grasp. He was like, it makes you wise through salvation through faith in Christ. It says all scripture is God breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. All scripture. So it came from God, not from some man, not from some incident. And then it also showed me that it prepares me in different ways when it's used in the right way. And then it says, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. If I'm in the word the way I'm supposed to, I'm prepared to be the Christian I'm supposed to. I won't pick and choose and only use it when I think it fits me and makes me comfortable. Does that make sense? It has to be the complete package. That's very rare today. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at some biblical instructions on dealing with the sacred. These are just some, because the Bible gives us a ton of them. And I'll show you. So I'm giving you an example of how now you go to the word and you see, how do I deal with this thing that's sacred? Amen. First of all, Christians are sacred. Okay, that's not something I made up. Look what the word says. 1 Peter 2:9-10 says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God." Very important. "That you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into the wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." Now, he already let us know then, I can't live based on my terms, my feelings, my desires. I don't belong to me. And we're talking about as a church, and not just me as an individual. I'm talking about me as part of the body. Does that make sense? I think one of the biggest struggles we have is a lot of us still live as individual Christians, and we missed it. We're part of the body. Okay? And the reason why it doesn't always connect is because in my part, I try to live for me. Your part, you try to live for you. And that's like the hand wanting to do what its own thing, and the wrist wanting to do its own thing, the arm wanting, and that's called chaos. It will not work. But the hand, the wrist, the elbow, the shoulder should all do what the brain wants to do. Who's the brain? Christ. Do y'all get this? When we do it that way, there'll be no problem. We'd be in the best place we're supposed to. If we recognize we're holy, let's see what Christ wants us to do. Let's check with Christ on everything. Do y'all got that? Also, since we are sacred, we must live our lives sacredly. It shows in 1 Peter 1:14-16. As obedient children, first of all, obedience is doing what he says, correct? Plain said, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. Now, that second part is saying, stop living for anything else other than what he says. Can I make that any clearer? Okay? Because sometimes when we hear, do not live in ignorance, we'll go after certain groups that we have labeled ignorant, but there's still some people who are not Christians or Christians living wrong that we go, oh, but they're good people. Correct? All right? I still hear people do it. If I'm not careful, I'll do it. Which I look at a person, that's a good man. No, God's saying, no, only God is good. And if I'm not living godly, no good. I don't care how great people love it. I don't care what people give. It's wrong and it's bad. And he shows us this. He says, but as obedient children, stop living for any other reason other than what he says. He says, but just as he who called you is holy, watch this, be, everybody say be, holy. In all you do. What does all include? So be holy in all you do. What does that mean? When I go to drink water, I have to drink water like Christ. When I watch TV, got to watch TV like Christ. Pastor, he didn't watch TV. If he was here and he was watching television, I have to do it like, well, how am I going to know that? That's what the word is going to show you. Some of the things I'll hear people make, well, Christ wouldn't do that. And you have to go, so where did you get that from? It's a simple question. You have some people in their self-righteousness will make up stuff that maybe they don't like, and they'll try to put it off on Christ until they go in the word and they go, oh, I guess it doesn't have anything to do. Because remember, they even got mad at Christ for being Christ. He was eating with the sinners. Who does that? Didn't even realize when people do. And we still do that today. We judge people based on how we said you shouldn't do. Where are you getting that from? Correct? Okay. To our demise. Because we're not being holy. Holy is I'm fully doing it based on God. I don't have a say in it. He says, for it is written, be holy because I am holy. Now, big thing we have to understand in that is, and you see it today, and it should not be, is the partnership. This is another thing that sacredness shows us, very clear. Look what he says in James 4. It says we are never to have a partnership with the world. James 4:4 says, you adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred towards God? He didn't say could be. He said is. Nowhere in the Bible has it ever shown as Christians partnering with any country, any place, any. We did that. Okay, the danger with that is then we start taking on some of what they say. They may listen to some of what we say. And y'all see what just happened? We still became corrupt. Amen. We start taking on things that they say is right. And then we start dividing. We should have never. We are supposed to act like we came from a whole nother place because we did. It says our citizenship is in heaven. We're just visiting to minister to people in order for them now to be citizens of heaven. Do y'all get this? It was never for us to come in and be part of any of this world's citizenship. He says, when I do that, I am hating God. Do y'all see that? Okay? I am hating God when I love. He says, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy to God. Y'all catch that? Powerful when you think about it. Once again, this is his sacredness. And if you follow the sacredness, he gives us and guides us on the right thing of that. Let's look at another one. Christians' bodies are sacred. Christians' bodies are sacred. 1 Corinthians 3, 16 through 17. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple? Remember I told you the reason why the buildings are meaningless now is because we are that building. That temple that they built in the Old Testament, that some people try to build their churches to look like those buildings, and they're just wasting their time because that building's gone. Here's the building. Now, Jews will still do it, and they're going to still do it in the end times because that's all they know for the time. Okay? And it's happening for prophecy. However, we understand we are the temple. You see it here. He's saying you are the temple. And look what he says. He says, and that God's Spirit lives in you. So remember that Holy of Holies that people couldn't go in? It's in us. Remember where the ark was? That's in us. Okay, remember, only one time a year when the high priest could go in and talk to him, and if he did one thing wrong, he could die. They had to tie a rope to him and pull him out. Some say they put a bell on him, and if the bell stopped ringing, you would hear stuff of how dangerous it was. And the Bible showed you, if he did one thing wrong, he would die. That's in us. Do y'all get this? All of that is in us, and it's showing us that I am his temple. You are his temple if you're a Christian. It says God's Spirit lives in you. If anyone destroys God's temple, God will, everybody say will, destroy him. For God's temple is what? Sacred. And you are that temple. Now, this is start off referring to sexual immorality. Okay, but this is also talking about when I am doing stuff just for my own pleasure and ignoring what I am. Now, if I really take that serious, it makes me go, oh, I got to watch what I eat. Watch what I do, how I am. Do y'all catch that? But he gave a promise here. You know, we love saying God's promises when it fits what we like, but we don't like God's promises when it's hitting us where we want. And he's saying, it's right here, he's saying, you destroy, I will destroy. Amen? All right. Look at the last one here. And this is a combination. The Bible is not just to be heard, but done. Many times we go to church and we go through the motions and say we went to church. We might have heard a sermon. We might like the sermon. May listen to it a little bit and then we'll never apply it again. I'll preach it again and you'll go, oh, is this new? No, we did it three times before. Amen. And why? Because we don't take it like we're supposed to. Now, church is meant to be, pastor, you have to feed me because I have to have this. I don't know if y'all remember the verse where Jesus says, if this word remains in you, then I will remain in you. Then eternal life will remain in you. Remember, but he didn't say just getting it. He said it had to remain in you. It had to stay in you. He's saying, if this word stayed in you. So that's, I have to get it. So you have to hold me accountable to give it. And then it's your responsibility to keep it. But look what it says here in James 1, 22. It says, do not merely listen to the word. Some don't even get that far. Right? You know, we get some that'll come and they're kind of, and you're sitting in church and you go, okay, now what do I got to do this week? And I got to do that now. Oh, he's still talking. And we got to do this. When is this over? And right, our minds are everywhere else. So we don't even get to the listening part. Okay, so we already blew it there. But then the ones who are listening are taking the word, and I'm understanding, I'm taking it in, praise God. He says, don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. What does that mean? Some think, in my knowledge of the word, God's going to be so impressed with my knowledge, I'm going to be automatic Christian. And that's meaningless. 1 Timothy says, knowledge puffs up. Love builds up. And he says, if you love me, you'll what? Do what I command. Y'all see how that goes together? Okay. So in other words, he says, don't just hear. Don't come to church and go, amen, praise God, that was good, you know, and I appreciate it. And then leave and deceive yourself. He's saying you are now no better than somebody who didn't come at all. Unless you do it. He says, do what it says. Do y'all see that? Do what is the purpose you're coming here is to get instruction on what you're supposed to do, not just to hear it and say amen. This is your responsibility, what you're supposed to do. It says in James 1:25, but the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he's heard, but doing it. Now, break this down. Look what he says. First of all, looks intently. So you're listening deeply. Remember the Bereans? It says they listen with great eagerness. That's why I said I love it when we give a sermon and you come back with questions. Outstanding. Why? Because you were listening. And not just listening, listening intently. Right? Not, well, I'm glad that's over. Hope we don't preach that again. That made my head hurt. Right? It'll be, I got to understand this. I really need to know this. Questions are good. I welcome questions. Questions should be something are in all of our lives. You're listening where, can you say that again, Pastor? Remember that part when you went over? This is where you're deep into your word. He said, so they look intently into the word and they continue to do this. So they don't just do it once or twice on a sermon that they think they like. They do it all the time. They become strong students of the word. And he says, not forgetting what he's heard. So after you go through that series, like we're doing grace. When we finish grace, hopefully 4 months from now, you're going, so Pastor, what is grace? And that law thing. We just went over that. Shouldn't you be studying it and knowing it and growing in it? Because you need to know it. Why? Because it goes to this last part. You have to do it. Right? You're responsible for doing it. He said, the person who does it, he will be blessed in what he does. And because we all know what blessings are, sometimes people think when I get a lot of money, I'm blessed. When this happens for me, I'm blessed. When I get a promotion, I'm blessed. Is that truly a blessing? We make the mistake of saying that. Sometimes you see something with a lot, but people don't realize. Then that means Egypt was blessed more than other nations, right? Nebuchadnezzar and Babylonia was blessed. Rome was blessed. No, they were just rich and they had a lot going on, right? Understand what true blessings are. We're going to do that as a lesson coming up. But true blessings in God, he's saying, you really want to be blessed? Do this. Get this word. Study this word. Know this word. Apply this word. And everything you do will truly be blessed. Amen. We are not to give what is sacred to unbelievers. And this is where we're blowing it today, too. Reason why I think today when we look at certain things and we struggle with the world is because we keep trying to make the world do what we say to do. Now, there was something I heard, and I'm going to show you why it's disturbing. So there's a movie that's out, and it's a cartoon. And in the cartoon, they had a same-sex couple, which is becoming a very common practice. And we know that the Bible is against that. But that's not what's disturbing. What's disturbing is you have Christians going, boycott it. Now, why is that disturbing? The problem is, why are we only picking certain things to boycott? Isn't the world wrong in everything that it's doing? So why aren't we boycotting the world? And then going a little further, where does the Bible say boycott? in that way. What we have done, as it says here in Matthew 7, verse 6, do not give to dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under feet and turn and tear you to pieces. I'm hearing the world at many times come back and saying, well, one minute y'all mad at this group, and okay, that might be in the Bible, but how about this group over here? That's not in the Bible, and you're not as mad as them, and they're absolutely right. Because we gave them something sacred. We're not dealing with it sacredly. And then we fight for one thing that's in the Bible, but we don't fight for the other thing that's in the Bible. Do y'all get this? This wasn't meant for us to have a collaboration with the world. This was through what the word says, minister to the world. Be careful not to keep doing things the way we see fit. Stop doing things the way you think they should be done. This word and God and everything he has is sacred. And just understand that if you mishandle it, like Uzzah learned, it could be devastating. Amen? All right. As the word says, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. We take this time out, talk to our Father, to let him know how much we love him, let him know to get our minds clear and are focused on the right thing, doing what he tells us to do. For those of you who would like somebody to pray with you, make sure you catch up to myself or one of the deacons after service. We'll be more than glad to pray with you. And as you should do as an example to your children and along with your children, is pray continually. Amen? Prayer and meditation. Amen. God is faithful. We love that we have a God we can bring everything to. Amen. Help yourselves with refreshments. Once you come back in, we will continue.